I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in. Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2009 Disney Channel original movie, Dad Napped. Alyssa Morris desperately wants to gain more attention from her always preoccupied father, Neil, a best-selling author. Melissa lives in the shadow of Trip Zoom, the adventurous and clever hero from her father's popular spy novel series. Before a long overdue father-daughter vacation, her father gets kidnapped by obsessive fans Wheeze, Andre, and Sheldon. The tables turn, however, when they must team up and rescue her father from Merv and brothers Maurice and Skunk. It turns out Merv is just using Skunk and Maurice as part of a plan to get Neil to write one final book, using his daughter as a reader. Wheeze, Andre, and Sheldon get all of the Trip Zoom fans in town, however, to gather together and rescue Melissa and Neil, and they attack when Melissa manages to signal them. The fans attack Merv, Maurice, and Skunk, and they try to run, but are stopped by more fans. Merv sneaks out with Neil while Skunk and Maurice go after Melissa, who escapes. Melissa defeats them and ties them up. Merv nearly gets away, but Sheldon, who has been trying to find where everyone went, spots him and alerts everyone else. Neil is rescued, but Merv tries to get away again. As he runs, Skunk and Maurice, still tied up, come out and see this and regret what they've done. They use the string holding them together to trip Merv, knocking him down and ending his escape. The police arrest Maurice and Skunk, while Neil thanks his fans. Wheeze gives his number to Melissa before she and her father leave on their long overdue vacation. After this brief break, we'll be back with Sarah to discuss our thoughts on the movie. So, Dad Napped, 2009. What did you think?
I thought it was, I remember watching it originally. And again, 2009, I was 19, so I was older for this. I thought it was like, parts were like stupid, but also it was like, kind of funny, because like I like Emily Osment and what's the other guy who played Hannah Montana's brother,
Jason Earls.
Yeah, I like them. I think they're funny, and I do think they didn't get like enough credit, like enough character play in Hannah Montana. Like their characters developed, but I didn't like how like they played Emily Osment was like a dummy, and like same with Jason Earls. I think like them getting their own show was pretty cool. But
can we talk about how my favorite episode of Hannah Montana was the one where she thought that Jackson and Lily liked each other and were gonna date? Yeah. That was literally my favorite episode. But
Yeah, so I did enjoy seeing, because I did like Emily Osment, I did like Jason Earls back in the day.
Yeah.
And you mean, you've also got David Henry, the guy who played Mr. Mosby.
Yeah, like all the...
You have some heavy hitters in what was Disney Channel at that time on in this movie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, for that much of their star power being in it, it was kind of like Princess Protection Program, where it was just kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, like, and who even played the dad? Like, wasn't the dad...
No idea. Much? No idea.
let me see. Because I'm pretty sure, like, the dad was... Like, no one would really know him, because I think he was an 80s... 80s actor, but I'm not positive. I'm gonna... Oh, George Newbern. Yeah, he was in a bunch of like Pretty in Pink and shit like that.
Okay. Yeah. Just not... Doesn't nothing, faze me. It's something that the parents might have enjoyed, but like the kids wouldn't have known.
Like, he was in Father of the Bride and Father of the Bride Part 2. I'm pretty sure he was in a bunch of like 80s movies, like Pretty in Pink and stuff like that. Like, he was part of the Brat Pack.
But considering they had one of their top guys from Wizards of Waverly Place, because Wizards of Waverly Place had started at this point.
Yeah.
He'd had his own movie at this point with Wizards. Like,
yep.
Oh, I even forgot. Moises, whatever the heck his last name is.
Moisarius.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in this as well. So you've got three of your people from Hannah Montana. You have one of the people from Sweet Life, and you have one of your people from Wizards of Waverly Place. Those are your three biggest shows on Disney Channel at this time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, it felt like it was a quick grab. They were like, okay, we're not gonna focus much on the plot of this movie because our star power is gonna sell it.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, the writing was like, I use the word stupid, and it's like such a strong word to use, but it was like a stupid plot. Like,
see, I disagree with you there. I think the original plot is quite interesting, because you have a famous writer in, oh God, I don't even remember the main character's name. Melissa, I think.
Melissa Morris.
Her dad is this famous writer. Mm-hmm. And so it goes into kind of that fandom culture that, of course, now is huge, because Disney now owns all these things and really helps build that type of culture.
Yeah.
But it was something that existed back then as well. And so they build this idea that they're going to go to this convention. And there's so many moving parts. And I think that's where I get lost. Because if it had just been a focus on the familial relationship, that would have been a stronger narrative. If that whole familial thing wasn't even there, like, if it was just oh my God, my dad got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, that and everything else would make sense. It just would have been a fun movie.
Yeah.
Whereas I think they were trying to put too much heart into something, but they were trying to throw too much action into something, and it just became this Mod Podge.
Yeah.
Of a movie.
And they also had like all the, like, yes, they had all the like heavy hitting characters, but like, I also feel like they were kind of riding on them carrying it, where, like, you know, you had Phil and all that, but like, their characters really didn't have a chance to develop. Like, again, like you said, it was like a hodgepodge of plots and stuff. Like, but I definitely think that you could tell they rested heavily on their casting and the popularity that their casting brought.
Yeah. But let's get into the story because that's what we do here.
Yep.
So, like I said, it has this, they're supposed to go on a camping trip and Dad isn't around much because of work. And so I think it sets up a really like, okay, like she has her plan of how this weekend, this camping trip is going to go.
Yeah.
Of course, instant divert. We're going to go to this convention, which I thought was really interesting because, I mean, I'm a fan. I go to conventions.
Oh, yeah.
And I did see a lot of things that are similar because there are those type of competitive debates and things like that. Cosplay, like the whole thing. But what kind of weirded me out was the fact that she sees this main character. Like, is she schizo?
Which one? Trip Zoom?
Yes.
Character in the father's books? Maybe.
And so that kind of weirds me out a little bit. But like, besides that, like everything was pretty spot on. And what I loved about David Henry's character and his group is they take what the dad puts in the books and they put it into actual practice.
Which actually happens in real life. Like some people like take advantage, like take it as like the Bible. They think these characters are real in all these books. So like that's totally true.
But I love like the dad is like really impressed with them at the same time as like, guys, you can't kidnap me.
Yeah. Right.
So if like that had been the plot, I think when they added in the actual like criminal activity, that's where it kind of lost me. Like had they just kept it at this and then have them have a little heartfelt thing like that, I think was its original idea.
Yeah.
Because then you get into the actual kidnappers. I mean, granted, they are kidnappers, but they always intend to bring him back. They just want to have some fun.
But they're also children. Like,
right. They're teenagers.
Yeah, like teenagers. Like, what adult would allow, like, it's almost like he allowed himself to get kidnapped by a bunch of teenagers. Like, if you think about it, what adult would allow themselves to be kid, like, your teen, like, even now, I'm, you know, 31, but like, I wouldn't allow myself to be kidnapped by a group of teenagers.
Like 16 year, like 16 and younger.
Yeah.
They're not old.
No.
So
it's like stupid.
So yeah, like that I think would have been cute and then have the heartfelt like moments and not yada yada. But then we have this whole other plot where there are actual kidnappers. And I just, oh God, I forget what the guy's name was. Was it Moose? No, I don't think it was Moose. It was some weird animal. Skunk.
Yes, skunk. More recent skunk.
More recent skunk. And I get that they were trying to be like, yeah, but they're not really bad guys type of thing. But I just felt like it took away so much because then you're so focused on them that and like that whole situation. And then they are actually the plebes for the big bad who is, oh God, little something.
It was, I watched this like a couple weeks
ago. Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm kind of like looking over my notes, but Morrison Skunk.
Jason Earl's character. And he's actually the big bad and he is going to kill the dad because he wants the last manuscript written by him so he can sell it for a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, at this point, like I didn't care to begin with, but now I really don't care.
Yeah.
But then
Merv.
I was like, I knew it was something weird.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like this had way too many side avenues that it went down, and like it needed editing.
Yeah.
And I bet it was probably even bigger, and this was the edited version.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and I think too, because they had so many big I say big, even though they were like supporting characters in their own shows, minus Phil Duffy's character. They weren't real, like, it almost seemed like they were all trying to give them a bigger part than what they're used to. So they're trying to make like everybody a kidnapper, and like four people are getting kidnapped. It was just like way, you could kind of tell it kind of spun out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so like, I want to like it because I did like all of these actors.
Yeah.
Like, I really remember liking them, and it's just an underwhelming movie. And I felt the same way back then. It was never my favorite. I watched it once and I never watched it again.
Yeah. It was like, okay, I've seen it. It's not one of those ones where I'll actually like, it kept coming up on my TV on Disney Plus every time I logged in, like, movies you might like. And I'm like, I didn't like it the first two times I watched it. I'm not going to like it a third time.
Like, the only reason I watched it again is because of this podcast.
Right, exactly. So it's like,
I don't know. Like,
It just seemed like it needed to be edited even more, and just like too many twists and turns and too many kidnappers. And it just, then you think Emily Osment's character is like hallucinating, which the trip zoom thing, I kind of get. It's kind of like, even though he's a comic book character, I think they wanted to make it him almost like a real character, because she's so jealous that,
exactly,
the way I thought was, she is jealous of this fictional character that she makes it real in her head, because he's basically real to her father, because that's his book character. So it's real to her father. So it's almost like she's being traded for the,
yeah. And I really like the cinematography. I do have to like give props to the cinematography, because when she's in those moments, the camera's actually tilted.
Yeah.
So you like, know, it's kind of like not actually happening.
Right.
So I do appreciate that. I thought I gotta give props where props are due on that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of, I like how they made it where, even though it seemed weird, they made it where Trip Zoom was an actual, they made it seem like he was an actual person that she was, because the way her father saw him was, that was his character. He built the character up. Trip Zoom in real life is a real character, even though he's just a character in his book. So I like how they also made it so that it showed how she was in a struggle to get her father's attention between this fictional character her father built and created, and is so invested in that he's a real person in her dad's mind, versus it's not real in real life. So it's kind of like the power struggle between real and not real. And yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was one of those movies like, nah.
Well, let's talk about the ending, because at the end, you find out she is actually a huge fan of these books, because that's the only way she gets to spend time with her dad, is by reading his work, which, holy crap, that's the most depressing thing ever.
I know, like, right?
My God.
Breaks your heart, yeah.
Like, your dad's alive, and the only way you get to spend time with him is reading his work.
Yeah.
But the resolution, she ends up using the things that he put in these books to then get everyone to help them.
Yeah. It's so it's so weird. Like, and I don't know if it's like, I want to think that maybe being, I don't know, I while I was watching it now as an adult, trying to think of like Stephen King's kids, or, you know, who's that person?
Don't even get me started on the Kings, because the son writes horror just like his dad.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, as him growing up with his father being so famous and so invested in all, like, Stephen King has so much detail in his book. So, like, I was trying to put myself in, like a kid of Stephen King, or one of the, I think,
just my someone mom, famous.
Right. Who's an author who's had multiple books out. Like, my mom reads those Alex Cross novels. So, like, that author's kids, and like how it might have felt for them, where, and I don't know, it might not be the same way for all best-selling authors, but like you'd think that like they're so invested in some of these characters that, like, you know, they're on the road touring this, you know, maybe this is how the kids of all these best-selling authors do feel, is like the only way to spend time with their parent is to read their books, as sad as it may seem.
So,
I mean,
going down the same route, I don't think with authors it's the same, just because it's not as big. Like, unless you're a J.K. Rowling, which...
Well, no, I'm saying, like, I'm saying, like, best-selling authors like a Stephen King, or...
Well,
like,
yeah, all these books are different, like...
Oh, that's true. Well,
but think of, like, I think of actors and things like that, where their parents are away on set, or like TV actors and movie actors, their parents are away on set for months at a time. Well, like, so, that I feel is much more relatable than a
author. My mom reads James Patterson novels, so a lot of his novels are like the Alex Cross novels. So it's all Alex Cross for X amount of novels. And I think he wrote the Letter Murders, or the ones that are like A is four.
You know, he has ghostwriters. He doesn't write all of those.
No, I know. But like you kind of think of like how he's been, I don't know, like actors, you know, they're gone so much. The only times they can, especially like TV actors, like, you know, all these people on like Chicago Fire and Station 19, all these people who film for X amount of months a year, and they're only home for 4-ish months, maybe.
So for like TV, though, I think that they'll usually move their family wherever they're at, because TV, it's months and months and months.
Yeah.
Well, whereas like a movie, they're gone for
a couple,
maybe months. 2 months, but then they're home for like 2 weeks, and then they go to another movie set for another 2 months. Like, that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Because
writing is not the same.
No, writing.
And I'll say from a standpoint, I'm trying to be a writer.
Yeah.
It's a very solitary thing.
Right.
And it's not like I'm gone anywhere. I'm where I'm at. It's just, I'm focusing on this thing.
Right.
So it is, it's a different type of thing, but she's also a parent. She is from a broken home. Her parents are divorced.
They are divorced. So, I couldn't remember if they were divorced or
they're divorced.
Dead. But again, like, they don't talk about the mother that much. Not that it matters, but like,
she's there. She's actually, and that's one point, because the mom is supportive. The mom is there. And the mom says, call me. Like, she has a good relationship with her mom. Her mom gets really mad when she finds out, oh, they're at a convention, they're not actually camping.
Right.
Like, and that relationship down packed. Like, as the only child of divorced family, that's exactly what happens. Yeah. Mom's always the one who is just kind of like, yeah, no, okay, I gotta now fix all this because he's an idiot.
I feel like that's such a mom thing too. Like, I mean, there are some others. I think it's
the primary parent, because I know some families where the dad is actually the one who got custody and did that kind of stuff. So I think it's primary parent, and in our culture, it's always usually the mother. But I definitely understood that. I related to that. And I related to wanting to spend time with that other parent, but the other parent really not being able to do it. Granted, right. Mine was not a worker. He was just an ass, but.
But still, it's like still that point where you get it from where basically in a way you can see it as he's an absentee parent.
Yes.
How they're portraying him in this movie, even though, like you said, writing's more solitary and can go anywhere. But
yeah, I like had very conflicting things about that, like, because Disney has done movies. Like, I think of, wonder what movie gets me every single time that has to deal with that type of thing. The Game Plan.
Oh my
God. With The Rock, yes. And the little girl from Cory in the House.
Yes.
Every time. I'm like a sobbing mess.
I know.
I lose it. And like, so Disney knows how to write scripts like that. And they right. just kind of half-assed this one. And I get it's for a Disney Channel original movie, not an actual theatrical release.
Right. But still. But
you'd still.
Want... Yeah. Well, like, this isn't the first one we've talked about that they've almost, it's almost seemed like they've just thrown it together or has, like, it's so, like, disjointed and, or it starts out good and then goes, like, 17 different ways and doesn't wrap up good. So this isn't their first Disney original right. movie. And I mean, I like you said, I get it. It's not a huge, like, cinematic getter. Where like it's gonna be in theaters, a lot of people they're gonna get a lot of money from it, but still you feel like you'd want it to be like something that people would want to keep watching every time it came on and not just flip the channels or like, but like especially now with Disney Plus, where you can watch all these movies where you'd want it to be now like us showing our kids these movies so they could appreciate it. But like this is one I just skip over.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense.
It's not like, one that I would ever say, yeah, that's the movie I want to watch. Like,
yeah,
I have an hour and a half to kill. Right. I want to watch this movie.
Maybe as like a background type, like if I'm doing something else and I just want like background noise.
I might pick Princess Protection Program over this.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Like it just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
But, all right. So, anything to add? Any final thoughts?
No, I think we've covered it all. Just that, you know, how disjointed it was. But again, I think we covered all of that.
Yeah. All right. So, final ratings out of 10.
3.
Really that low? I was going to put it at a 4.5. Like a 4.5.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I think that with what the actors were given, they did right. a good job. The original right. concept was a nice, interesting concept. It just got really lost in translation.
Yeah. It was very put together. Like thrown together.
Yeah. Like I would not put it anywhere near like Genius or Twas the Night. Oh, like no. this is much more mid, like 4 yeah. or 5. Like it's not a 1 or a 2.
Right.
It's yeah.
Lower. Yeah.
All right. Like not to say like other movies that we did not like, but I would watch Double Teamed before I watch this. I would watch. Honestly,
I might watch Double Team before I watch this too. And I still didn't like
considering how Team much we did not like, we were just kind of like about it. Yeah. I'm just like, I think, okay.
Is Double Team their lowest rating?
No, I think it was Genius.
Yeah.
But if we were going to tell people to watch it, I think we both said that we would have people watch the train wreck that was Genius because it's such a train wreck versus yeah. Twas the Night.
Right. Because it's one of those ones where it's like you're watching it and you're like, this can't be this stupid. This can't be like, this can't be this stupid. And you just end up watching the whole thing because it is that stupid.
But like, I just would forget about Twas the Night. Like, it's just not even something on my radar.
All right, so that was our thoughts on Dadnapped. I still can't believe how much I didn't remember about that movie, but okay. We are moving on to 2010's Starstruck. I don't recall ever watching this one, but I'm looking forward to watching it. You can find us in the meantime on our Instagram, Watching With Friends, or you can email us, let us know your thoughts or your ratings or just any questions you have for us. That is at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. And with that, we will see you guys next week to discuss Starstruck. I hope you have a great week and we'll see you next time. Bye! No, 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 no.